Yesterday, in North Carolina, Nevada, and California, law enforcement officials launched Operation Fish Fry and netted 33 arrests. The culprits aren't haddock, perch, or walleye. They were after online scam artists, identity thieves, men and women who convince you that it's okay to click and enter your password to your email or your bank account. Recently, 10,000 Hotmail, MSN, and Live.com passwords were exposed online, a huge security breach. And what turns out to be the most common password? 123456. So, what makes a good password, and how do you protect your computer and yourself from phishing? In just a moment, we'll talk with Farhad Manju, technology columnist at Slate.com. If you have a question for him about password security and phishing, our phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our website. That's at npr.org. Click on Talk of the Nation. Farhad Manju is technology columnist at Slate.com. You can find a link to his column on password security on our website, npr.org. And he joins us from KQED, our member station in San Francisco. Farhad, nice to have you back on the show.
Hi, good to be here.
And for those who don't know, what is phishing? For one thing, it's spelled P-H.
Yeah, so phishing is when somebody sends you to a website that kind of looks like a legitimate website. Say it looks like your bank account or PayPal or something like that. And you think it's a legitimate site and you enter your password and your username in it, but actually it's sort of just masquerading as a legitimate site. It's actually run by some nefarious person who's trying to get your information. So you enter that in, they get it, and then they have, you know, they have access to all your stuff.
I get these, I think every day, but one of them says, your PayPal account, we have questions about security just to make sure everything's okay. Just enter all your information here. And of course, I don't have a PayPal account.
Right. I mean, these attacks are kind of unsophisticated. You'll notice bad grammar. You'll notice misspellings. You'll notice them when they go to the website, they don't look exactly like PayPal or Wells Fargo. But sometimes they can be very sophisticated and people fall for them all the time.
And this, it turned out, was being run not just in this country where some of the arrests were made, but in Egypt as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is another hallmark of these attacks. Like, they're often run from foreign countries and where you know, law enforcement has little jurisdiction, and they're run by, you know, in this sort of drive-by way where people will set up a website, it'll stay up for a little while, then go down. And so it's really hard to take down.
And one of the things your column makes clear is that once people get your password to an email account, from that, they can probably derive the password you use on your bank account and other accounts, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Most people run their email. It's sort of the keys to the kingdom. It has everything in there about you because we kind of live out of email these days. So the key to all of this, the key to sort of stopping all of this, is to follow, you know, a few very simple password rules. You should change your passwords often. You should not use the same password for several different sites. And you should use passwords that are not readily guessable. Those are simple rules, but it turns out they're kind of hard to follow because, you know, changing your passwords often, choosing passwords that are easy to remember, that's very annoying. And very few people actually follow these simple rules.
And indeed, it is annoying because it's hard to remember passwords.
Yeah, it's difficult to remember passwords, especially if you have to change them often. So you have to come up, basically the rule is you have to come up with a hard password, something that's hard to remember. But if it's hard to remember, I mean, something that's hard to guess, but if it's hard to guess, then it's hard to remember. And that's the trouble.
Let's see if we get some callers in on the conversation. 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. We promise it's our real site. Josh is on the line from Lansing, Michigan.
Hi, guys. My question is, how do you keep track of all these passwords? Because, for instance, I'm in the military. I've got about 15 different websites, and they all have different requirements, one special character, two capitals, two lowercase, or whatever. Is there any kind of way to keep those passwords in a secure file so that you can access them, or besides write them down on your keyboard, or...
That's probably a bad idea, too.
Well, so, I mean, that's the thing. These passwords, we have to remember so many that people often write them down, which is not really a good idea. So there are kind of two ways to try to keep track of your passwords. There are some software programs that are kind of called password lockers or password keepers that kind of take you put in all your passwords there, and then you have kind of a master password, and that software will kind of keep all of your passwords hidden. The other way is to choose passwords in a way that it makes them both difficult to guess and easy to remember. And so I talked to some security experts and came up with what I think is a pretty simple way of doing it. And it involves basically involves a technique we've all used in school, a mnemonic device. So what you do is you come up with a sentence that's easy to remember. So something kind of bizarre. For example, I came up with one: I like to eat bagels at the airport. And then what you do is you take each of the first letters of that sentence, and you turn it into an abbreviation. And for example, the word at, you can turn into an at sign. And I, the capital for the first person pronoun, you can capitalize that. And so basically that easy to remember sentence, I like to eat bagels at the airport, becomes a pretty hard password. Capital I, lowercase l, T E B, at sign, T A, you know, something that's no one's going to guess.
Because everybody remembers mnemonic devices, you know, for music, all good boys deserve fudge or something like that.
Right, exactly. And especially if you come up with one for yourself that, you know, is kind of unique to you, says something about yourself, it becomes easier to remember.
So, Josh, you could take one of Napoleon's dicta, perhaps. The moral is to the physical as 3 is to 1. I think Josh has left us anyway. Okay.
But he's off working on his passwords.
But I was fascinated to read in your article that there is a company that it sells services cracking passwords.
Yeah, I mean, people often need to crack passwords when it's court ordered, when law enforcement has to break into computers, or when a company, somebody who has all the passwords at a company dies, unfortunately, they need to get into their computer systems. And so there's this company, Access Data, that basically breaks into computer systems legally and tries to guess passwords. And after doing this for a while, they've come up with basically a lot of insight into how people choose passwords. And what people do is they usually choose a readable word, you know, not necessarily something that you'd find in the dictionary, but something, you know, like a first name perhaps or something like that. And when asked to add a symbol or a number, most people add the numeral one to the end of it, or they add an exclamation mark. And it turns out these are very easy to guess. It just takes a computer trying to guess many attempts, and usually they can find it.
Let's get another caller on the line. This is Bakar from Charlottesville in Virginia.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Good. It is very interesting when you guys brought this topic up, because just yesterday I was thinking about changing my password, because at least I change my password 3 or 4 times a year. And what I normally use is I use my native language, because I'm from Africa. I use my mother's native language because I speak different languages. And my mother's native language is Timini. And what I do is I use one of the words in Timini language to make out my password here in the United States. I will give you an example. A long time ago, I used one of my passwords. In my native language, the word is Tamarane, T-A-M-A-R-A-N-E-H. It means let's help each other. So here, it will be very difficult for somebody to think about stuff like that, because this is a foreign language. In fact, I don't believe many people have heard about the language Timini.
Farhad, is that a good technique? Obviously, not many of us speak African languages or obscure languages, but is that a good technique?
Yeah, it sounds good. There's one sort of shortcoming to it, which is that if somebody does get a hold of his computer and they notice, let's say he's written emails or other things in that language, it's what they do is they come up with a list of things that are with a list of words that are found in the computer, and then they try to use each of those words as a password. So if he's written that word before or permutations of that word, then it could be easy to find on the computer and then guess the password.
Well, thank God I have never used a language. As a matter of fact, the Tamil language is not a written language right now. I know some people who have been in Europe and in America and other places are trying to make it a written language, but right now it's not a written language, so thank God for that.
Unwritten language sounds like pretty good code to me. But another thing he said, Bakar said, that is very important, according to your column, he changes it every once in a while.
Right.
I mean, that is a very good practice, and it's he's in the minority there. Very, very few people actually change their passwords very often, that could be, you know, sort of a great thing to keep your accounts more secure.
If I have time, can I say something?
Very quickly, if you could.
Yes. The reason why I started changing my password, because I remember at one time I have an account with eBay, PayPal account, and I was months later I was trying to buy something on eBay, and they told me they can't accept my account anymore because my complete name sounds like a name that somebody has used before. So since then I just said, you know what, I'm going to cut my account up on eBay and start using other areas to get my goods. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks very much. Appreciate the phone call. We're talking about phishing and our terribly weak passwords with Farhad Manju. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go now to Mandy. Mandy with us from Atlanta.
Hi. How are you?
Very well. Thanks.
I really laughed whenever I heard this topic today. I was a phisher whenever I was about 13 years old.
Really? At 13?
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm 26 now, to give you a perspective, and now I'm actually in information assurance and security. So I've seen both sides. But the one thing I wanted to mention was that one of the most effective techniques is people forget their passwords, and you go through that whole form, and you have those three security questions. Well, a lot of people use the same screen names, and so if they use the same screen name on eBay, for example, then you can figure, well, they either have Yahoo or AIM or GTalk, whatever. You go through, you find them, and you talk to them, and you can actually get the answers from them by having a conversation and reset the password.
Is she right, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the main ways that people break into accounts, and it happened in a few famous incidents. Someone hacked into Sarah Palin's Yahoo account one time, and they did that because they could guess, information about her. It also happened to Paris Hilton's cell phone account the same way. You could guess her pet's name.
Mandy, have you atoned for your sins?
Well, it's past the limit for me to get in trouble for it, so I hope so.
Okay. Well, maybe working in security is punishment enough.
Yeah, it's just really funny seeing kids these days. I'm like, no, I've been there, and I did it much better.
All right, Mandy. Thanks very much for the phone call.
All right, thank you.
We have this email from Tapani, in Helsinki. I use a paper and pen address book where I can check rarely used passwords if I need to log on to NPR.com. I find the password under N. Best of all, he says, it's impossible to hack. However, again, it involves being written down, which can be a problem. Let's see if we can go next to, this is Steve. Steve with us from St. Louis.
Yeah, hi. I try to help out people with this type of thing, and I know so many people have multiple email addresses when they don't necessarily need it, and sometimes people will just forget that their address is out there. I try to encourage people to pick a professional-sounding email address and stick with that and pick a good password instead of having 10 different email addresses that they use for 10 different things, because maybe one address they'll stop using and forget the password, but somebody else might find it.
Is that good advice, Farhad?
Yeah, I think so. I've heard of attacks occurring that way, where people break into one account that people haven't don't remember that they've had, and then it sort of leads them to information that allows them to sort of break into all the other accounts. And the other thing to remember is that, we're supposed to keep different passwords for different sites, but you don't need that many. You can sort of get by with about four or five. You need kind of the strongest level passwords on the main site. So your email password should be distinct and unique and not repeated on any other site. And probably your bank account should be the same. But for if you have an online account at, for example, an online news magazine, like you read the New York Times, you have to log on there. You don't really need a very strong password for that, and you could use the same one for all your online news accounts, because if someone breaks in there, they're not going to find very much about you.
Okay, Steve, thanks very much. Here's an email from Jerry Ann. I have FUBAR on my computer. My husband has one and his too. I have more than 100 passwords stored in it, and I have it at the very top of my computer screen. All I have to do is click on it and access the list of my passwords. And she says it works great. Is that one of those software programs you were talking about?
Yeah, it sounds like that's what that is. And there are many, you know, both for Mac and PC. I don't really use one. I haven't found one that is especially easy or fast to use, but I know some people who swear by them.
I like your idea of the mnemonic phrase. My favorite of yours that you mentioned in the article is, my first Cadillac was a real lemon, so I bought a Toyota.
Yeah, and that leads to a long password that could be very secure. I won't even read it now because it's very complicated.
There was a character in the Superman comics in the old days. You can't possibly pronounce it, but Mr. Maybe that would be a good password too.
Yeah.
Farhad, thank you very much for your call. Farhad Manju, thank you very much. And Farhad Manju joined us today from our member station in San Francisco, KQED. He is, of course, the technology columnist at Slate.com. You can find a link to his column on password security at our website, npr.org. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Tomorrow, it's Science Friday. Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. I'm Neil Conan. We'll see you again on Monday.
Now you can get Talk of the Nation delivered to your inbox. Sign up and we'll send you a daily email about how to get into the conversation, what you missed, and our producers' picks for the best segments of the week. To sign up for the email newsletter, go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation, and scroll down to the newsletter sign-up box.